can't go back into every detail at all. There's no way. But Nehemiah had been commissioned by God, and we know basically the story, to build the walls back up of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, and it's still there, Jerusalem, in those times, in those that era of time, walls were built around cities or towns or cities, that area, to keep the enemy out of that city. Okay. So because you see, they didn't have vast armies as far as, you know, national armies, I guess, like, you know, America has their army, Russia has hers, China, and all that stuff. Well, back then, you know, there were enemies all over. And you didn't know who would come into your city and would cause havoc upon that city or that town. And what they would do is they would build walls, huge walls, all the way around the city to protect it. To protect it from the enemy. To protect it from someone that would try to bring harm to the people or someone in that city. You might say, well, how did they get in? Well, they had gates and stuff that they would open up at certain times to let people in and out, you know, and all that stuff. But during the time that Nehemiah, because he was captured by enemies, he was living somewhere else, Nehemiah was commissioned by God and got the okay of the king to go and build up the walls back up. Because you see, that was his hometown, if you want to say it that way. That was his home place. And he had gotten word that it had been destroyed by fire, that men had gone in there and burnt it, destroyed it. And you see, a city without walls at that time was vulnerable to anything and everything that would come its way, from wild animals to wild people to armies, whatever would come in and could destroy whoever was there trying to build that place back up. And God had commissioned that man. Now, you see, if God commissions someone to do something, that means what? That it is important to God. And you might say, well, building walls, was that important to God? But you see, the city of Jerusalem, or the town, or the city of Jerusalem, that was God's. And God knew that it was important to have these walls back up. And so he commissioned, and the story is, Nehemiah went in there, got some people to help him. Certain groups would do certain parts on the wall and would build it back up. It took them approximately 52 days to build the walls back up. Now, they had a lot of people that helped them, and they had a lot of people that came against him saying, you can't do it. You can't accomplish that. You can't, that will not happen here. And haven't we heard it all? We can do anything with God's help and if God commissions it. You know, the scripture says that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. But it's all things that God commissions us to do that we can do. You see, you know, we have certain people that will take a scripture and say, well, we can do all things, but not commissioned by God for us to do that thing. We have to know this, that what God commissions, God provides for. And what God speaks to your heart, he will provide for it. Somehow, some way, we'll get it done. And these people, Nehemiah was commissioned by God. Can you imagine? You know, you might say, well, Pastor, what kind of commission do we have? Well, the first and number one thing, God says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That means we're commissioned to share the gospel with anyone that will listen. With anyone that will listen. Now you might say, well, you know, there's a lot of people that won't listen. But there are a lot of people that will. Because there's a lot of hurting people. They've looked to the world for answers. And there's no answers. They're empty. If we could remember how we were before we got saved, it would help us to have compassion greatly upon the people that are still living like that. Remember how you, and I know it's kind of like, oh, remember how you were before you got saved? how empty we were? I mean, we tried to do everything, you know. You might say, well, I got saved when I was young, you know. It doesn't matter. Sin is sin. It brings emptiness. It doesn't bring fulfillment. But God has commissioned the church, the body of believers, to share the gospel with this dying world. To share that Jesus is the answer and the only answer. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through Jesus. He's the only way. Nehemiah had been commissioned. We are commissioned to share the gospel. However, wherever we are, God will make it. God will surely make an effort, if you want to put it that way, to make sure if we desire to share the gospel, He will bring people across our path that are ready to hear. That are ready to hear. See, it's us to share it, but it's the Spirit of God's job to convict. And sometimes what we've tried to do is do both. We've tried to share it, which is good, and we tried to convict them, and that won't work. It's the Spirit of the Lord that brings conviction and brings and draws a person to Him. We need the Spirit of the living God. Nehemiah needed the Spirit of God to give him direction, to give him help. God commissioned him, and God provided, and God gave him wisdom, and God gave him direction. And he went and started building that wall back up. In the commentary, it says this in verse 17. Talking about the walls of Jerusalem being built back up. It says, sadly, the walls of the church in many cases are broken down. The walls of prayer have been broken down, people. You know, I've often think, you know, I've been saved 30-something years. But I often think of, you know, years ago, I've never been in one of these where they said they had revivals that lasted for weeks and weeks and months. It did. You hear of revivals that preachers would go and preach for weeks at churches, night after night after night after night. You might remember that, huh? Because he grew up in a Pentecostal church. In bondage, just like us with Catholics, but still bondage. Weeks of revival. Weeks of revival. How the walls of the church body have been broken down because of prayer. Now you might say, well, we're not praying. We are praying. We are praying. Individually, I know you pray. Individually, I know I pray. We come together on Wednesday nights. Come to pray. Come to pray if you can. But the walls of prayer have been, but you know, you hear of these revivals and you hear of people that have been in ministry for so long that they talk about how they would get together and pray daily. They'd get together and pray and seek God. But the devil has used certain things to bring in where we now, you know, we may not pray every day or seek God like we should every day. And we're seeing things happen in the churches. And we see things happen in our countries, that our country that we never thought would be possible. And it really lies at the foot of the pastors and the church itself, that we've allowed things to happen. You know, the other day, this week, bringing back to remembrance, I remember at work, I work for the post office. I know there's some new people here, so I work for the post office. And I remember, you know, we were talking about things and we were working and break was coming about. And so we were all kind of working and doing whatever. And somebody said, you know, was talking about how many millions of people or so go hungry every night, you know, and how blessed we are in America. And somebody shouted, God bless the post office. And I said, yeah, we need the blessings of God upon this place. And they were talking, and I said, you know, yes, thank God we live in a country where we're still blessed by God. Blessed by God. That for the most part, most of the people don't go to bed hungry anymore at all. that there's so many people that are being helped. And I said, you know, I said, at least for the most part, and we're just all, you know, everybody's walking around. I said, for the most part, at least we're still a Christian nation. Thank God for the most part. Now, there's many things that are not right. And someone said something that penetrated my heart. They said, for the most part, we're a Christian nation, but it won't be long that we won't be. And this person that said it does not live a godly life at all. And when she said it, it penetrated my heart because I said, oh, Lord, we're on the verge of losing it. We're on the verge. And I said, oh, God. You know, I walked away and I thought, Lord. And I just started praying for our country. You know, you can pray while you work and just praying, say, Lord, move, move, revival, revival. We need revival. We need revival. Whoever thought we'd have gay marriage? Legally. Whoever thought that? Whoever thought the Bible would be taken out of the schools or prayer? Whoever thought those, and we can name a bunch of things. But those are just things at the surface that we know of. But we can build those walls back up. It says in Scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will come and I will heal their land. And for the most part, we haven't humbled ourselves, people. If my people will come and humble themselves and seek my face, then we'll see a turnaround. Because you see, the condition of things is the heart of a man. And that's what God's trying to change. And I know we think, well, you know, here we are, a little gate on here, you know, this area. What can we do? But prayer makes the difference. Prayer makes the difference. The walls of prayer have been torn down. We need to build it back up personally and collectively. Personally, collectively. Personally, bring it back. A praying. And I mean, not just coming to God and say, Lord, I need this, I need this. No. And that's important. Because you can look at the model prayer of the Our Father. It says, but it starts with Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. It's a model prayer that we're to honor him first. Then after a while, you go before him with your petitions. To hallow his name, to honor him, to love him, to praise him, to adore him. Worship in churches, worship in our lives, prayer to our God. The walls of prayer have been torn down. We need to build it back up. And oh, you know what? It's only the church that can build it back up. It's only the church that God will give a desire in his people to pray and to seek God and ask God for mercy and grace. You might say, Pastor, can things be turned around? God can change anything around. I'm sure the people that were still living in Jerusalem thought as they walked out every morning, tried to do work, as they saw the walls torn down and burnt, some of them probably got depressed. Some of them thought it could never change. But some of them walked out and said, Lord, send us a deliverer. Send us help. Send us help. And God chose Nehemiah. God's going to choose us as we pray and seek God. God is going to raise up the walls that have been torn down and build it back up and change things in the hearts of our people and in our leaders. Seeking God, the walls of prayer. The walls of strict adherence to the scripture. we see when God says something's wrong, it's wrong. That's just it. It's not what I think about it. It's not what Joe thinks about it or anything. But when God says something's wrong, it's wrong. But when God says something's right, it's right. You see, we have to always stand on the side of the Word of God. That's right. We have to put God first. We always have to stand on the side of the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is also right. Not just 10% right, not just 80% right, not just 99.9% right, but the Word of God is 100% right. As Christians of the living God, we got to stick to the strict adherence of the Word of God. You might say, well, Pastor, okay, how do I know what's truth or not? By opening it up and reading it. And asking God, Lord, show me your word. Show me your scripture. Show me what applies to me. And Father, put that in me. Nehemiah had a great job, but it took one man to start the process of building those walls back up. And it was done in 52 days, people. Can you imagine? It took one man that God calls, and those walls were built back up, and that's the city of Jerusalem became safe again. And no one could just walk in and bring destruction. No one, no army could come in and destroy it. God has put the church of the living God upon the earth to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the earth. So that when something comes up, they hopefully look to us and say, what do you think? You might say, well, there's some people that could care less. That's right. There's some people that could care less. But we don't worry about those people. We worry about what God says and what God wants us to do. That we stand up for what's truth and right. Strict adherence to the Word of God. Nehemiah knew that he had to do those things. It says in Nehemiah chapter 7, after the walls were built up, back up. It's an amazing thing. It says in chapter 7, the list of returned exiles. Look at this, people. You want me to read it? Nehemiah chapter 7. Starting with about verse 5 and all the way down to the end of the chapter and a little bit there. Look at this, people. The people didn't return to Jerusalem till after the walls were built back up. That's something we need to adhere to. God will not return people to his house, to the walls of prayer and strict adherence to the Word of God is being done in the house of God. True houses of God. We need to make sure that we build those walls of prayer and we adhere to the Word of God that we know of and we seek it out. But those exiles came back. Now, did Nehemiah know that? At first, he didn't. All he knew was that he had to build those walls back up. And let me tell you, call your family back home. You might say, what do you mean? Back to God. Back to God. Call your families and your friends that you've been praying for, asking God to move upon. Call their names out to God and say, Father, I call them back home to you. I call their names out to you, Father, and I call them back unto you. Amen. Calling their names back. I know each and every one of us has families that once knew God that turned from God. I know that. We all have families that kind of in church, but they're really not serving God. call their names out before God and say, Father, get a hold of them. Holy Spirit, get a hold of them. Look what happened with Nehemiah. All he had to do was build up the walls, and the Spirit of God called these exiles back home. And we've been wrestling with, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we get this? How do we get that? Then look, we just got to go to the strict adherence of the Word of God, build up the walls of prayer, ask God to move, and call their names forth that they have to come back. And the Spirit of God, we humble ourselves before God. We call their names before them. Him. And Him. He leashes out the Spirit of God upon your families. And upon your friends. And upon people that you've just been praying for. Because you see, the Word of God says to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel. There's a reason for it, people. There's a reason for it. Sometimes we can get lulled as the church, the body of Christ, thinking, well, you know, before I say that, have you ever gone to a funeral home? Everybody's going to a funeral home, huh? Does anybody ever say that that person laying in that casket is not in heaven? You don't hear it, huh? What I'm saying is this. Everybody believes somehow, some way, that you can live however you want and do whatever you want and still make it to heaven. And that's not truth. And the devil has lulled the church to believe the same thing that the world believes. The last greatest commission that God gave to his disciples, his people, was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That just means, you might say, well, I'm not a preacher, but you can speak. That just means tell them that the only door to heaven is Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, that would be the thing that covers our hearts and our souls. As we close our eyes and our spirit leaves and our spirit enters into heaven, that's the only door. The only door that we make sure that our hearts are right continuously. But no one ever walks in there and says, no, that person went to hell. Out of respect for the family, you don't say that. You don't say they're going to heaven or they're in heaven because you don't know. That's why, people, we need to teach and preach the Word of God. Doesn't matter who, when God brings somebody across your path, that you share with them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way. That's Him. It's Him and Him alone. As we build up the walls of prayer, as God mends the church, that God will bring the people, the Spirit of God will gulf them in. Because it says in the last days that a great revival will take place in the church. Honestly, I think it's going to be a lot of lost souls that will come in, but it will be a lot of people that once knew God that will come back and turn to Him. And that's only going to be by praying and seeking God. And the Spirit of God goes forth and brings them in. That's all. That's all. That's all. That the glory of our Father will be upon this earth to move within people like never before. To move within the hearts and souls of people. Nehemiah saw, can you imagine? Nehemiah just didn't commission people to do the work. Nehemiah got out there and did the work too. He got dirty just like all the other ones. They took bricks that were burnt. They tried to clean them a little bit and put them back on. And they built that wall back up. But can you imagine, as Nehemiah was there in the city, he'd see the gates open. And people would start walking back in, taking permanent residence in Jerusalem. coming in and building their homes back up, building residence there. Can you imagine the joy on his face? That just because he obeyed God in one instant, Jerusalem was now going to be a very vibrant city like it once was. And we can go into the scenario where, you know, they did that to themselves. Yes, because they left God. But God always draws them back in. Draws them back in. Thank God, yes. Draws them back in. Draws, that's just like us. God is constantly drawing us back in. You know why? Because he loves us. He loves you and I. And sometimes, you know, we, because of the pressures of life sometimes, or things happening in our family and friends, and just sometimes we just kind of move away from God a little bit. Huh? I know it. And sometimes we'd like to just stay home in our room and just stay. But that's not God. Because you see, God has made a provision and a way for each and every one of us. The blood of Jesus. People, look. When things happen, when things go wherever, remember there's a Savior that we can turn to. You might say, Pastor, I've messed up. We'll join the club.
We all messed up.
Because every one of us in here has messed up. Because you know why? Every one of us is a sinner. Just some are greater sinners than others. But that's okay. You can laugh.
It's okay to laugh.
It's okay. But we're all sinners. And all sinners need Jesus. And so what we do is, when something happens, we turn to the Father. And we say, Lord, forgive me. Should say it anyway every day. At the end of the day, you know, when you're convicted about something, say, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Amen. That he's given us life. Thank you, Lord, forgive me. And you accept his forgiveness. See, that's something there also. Sometimes we like to keep the guilt. Even though we said, ask Lord, forgive me, we like to keep the guilt because it makes us a little safe there. And punish our own selves. We like to take nails and put it in our feet and hands and nail it. And keep, you know, just pain. But after you ask forgiveness, you need to forgive yourself. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Lord, I forgive myself. And you look to the Father and you say, Lord, lead me on. And you know what you say? Charge. Charge. And go forth and get the job done. And live a life free from evil and sin. Because you see, the only victory that we can have, the only victory we can have is through the cross of Calvary. Through the cross of Calvary. I know each and every one of us, we all battle some things. We live in a human body. We have a sin nature in us that we inherited. And so we battle things. But as we keep our faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, he works those things out in us. And this is what you need to do every day. You need to keep your faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross and nothing else. And let me tell you, you'll get up in the morning or during the day or at night and you'll desire the word of God like you've never desired it before. Because you see, it's the word of God that washes us clean. It's the word of God that tells us what's right and wrong. It's the word of God that strengthens us on the inside. The Spirit of God is using it. You might say, well, it's all in my mind, but we don't realize that we're made of spirit, soul, and body. And as you read it and it's in your mind, it falls to the spirit man on the inside. And it strengthens the Spirit of the living God. And then the Father comes and helps us by His Spirit. The third person of the Trinity. The Spirit of the Lord. Nehemiah saw these people come back into that city. Makes you tear up when you see a family member walk through the doors of your church, huh? Makes you, it does something on the inside because you know you've been praying. You know what they've gone through. You know what's happening in their lives. And you see, you might say, well, God can do anything. Yes, He can. But God has chosen to use the prayers of His people to bring about His will upon the earth. You might say, well, how does He do that? Well, He puts His will in our hearts. We pray about it, and the Spirit of God moves, and it's done. That's just like Nehemiah. He saw something happen to his city. He was brokenhearted about it. He went to God. God told him, go build those walls back up. Use certain groups, get it built back up. When he did that, the Spirit of God moved upon the exiles that were people that have left, and I can understand why, to protect their lives. He moved upon their hearts, and they all came back. That's God. See, God wants to move like we've never seen him move before upon the earth. We have to be the channels of movement. We have to build the walls of prayer back up in the church. You want to know why so many, all you have to do is go on the computer, internet, and put failures of pastors. Now, that's not counting the parishioners, just failures of pastors. And look, a list will come up. Because you have to understand, the devil's out there trying to destroy pastors. And their lives and their family, destroy them. Because if he can destroy them, he has the people. And what has happened is, I know it, is that the church itself, and I'm talking about the whole body of Christ, just the whole body of Christ has not prayed like they should. It's truth. Everybody, we know it. Now, hey, look, I know this. We cannot pray 24/7. But you know what? We can turn that TV off every once in a while. We know it. Turn off Happy Days a little bit. No. Turn off the Waltons. And those are, you know, some of the good shows. You know, I'm not trying to. Last night we were watching a show. Hazel. You ever saw that show, Hazel? When we were young, we really didn't see it that much. But it was like, this is good, though. It wasn't, you know, they were just good. She was a maid, you know, and, I mean, old time. Miss Anna, you remember Hazel? You remember Hazel? Just good. Just good. Look, I'm not one to come against TV because God can use TV. Now, anything can be turned into bad if we want it to. But you know what? We need to take some time, people. Time. We're all busy. We all have a lot to do. But we need to build the walls of prayer back up to get the job done. That God will move upon this area. That the Spirit of God can move into homes where wives and husbands are bickering and fighting and about to divorce. And come in and mend that family only by the Spirit of God. only by us going before God and saying, move, Father. Move, Father. Move. Build those walls, people. Individually in our lives and collectively as a church, to pray and seek God like never before. Then we will see revival like we've never seen before. And I'm talking about true revival of repentance of His people. Repentance of His people. Let's build the walls back up, people. Commissioned by God. Commissioned by God. Amen. Would you please stand?